This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fans are on the edge of their seat. It's building. It's building. It's electric at the moment.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes.
There's the siren. Arms in the air. That has gone through. What are we seeing? Just incredible.
That's right, you're back on Joy 94.9 listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show. And I'm Chris.
And this is Brendan, and I am thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. And do you know what else I'm thrilled about, Brendan?
Tell me.
Not only that you're here on time this week, I mean, that made my day.
Well, some of us have a 9-to-5.
I have a very special announcement, or we have a very special announcement coming to you today. As we all know, it is midsummer.
Need NDIS support?
That was not actually the special announcement that I was going to say.
I thought that was a special announcement.
I mean, that was pretty cool. We love our sponsors, so we are happy with that. No, I was talking about Midsummer, and our special announcement is we are going to be at Midsummer at Carnival this Sunday. We will be on the Joy 94.9 stall for between 12 and 12:30. So come on down and say hey if you're interested. We will also be on the sports stage between 1:20 and 2, interviewing some very special guests and sporting groups.
Yeah, we'll be there, going to kick some bowls and that sort of, you know, mask for mess sort of, sort of stuff. Go us.
But that's not all we have to say about Midsummer today, is it?
No, we're very excited. So we want to introduce, we have a very special guest here. We're very happy to introduce. He's a former Fringe performer, upcoming Midsummer performer.
Yes.
Also doing his own show, Footballers Are a Godsend. And a former local footy player introducing Samuel Roberts. Hello, Samuel.
Hi, thank you. Oh, even an applause.
Oh, my. That was good. Who programmed that?
That was me. We definitely want to give you a really warm welcome here at Gay FL because we are a fan of queer footy fans, and I believe that's you.
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. My little story is that I played footy for 23 years and now I write shows about it.
Yeah.
So you didn't just talk about footy and watch footy like we do. You actually got out on the field and played it for so long.
I did. I played all through my juniors and then just continued on. All of a sudden it had been, two decades and I was still playing.
What got you into it?
I'm going to be honest, it was pressure from Dad. I didn't particularly want to play, but in small country towns, there's not much to do. So my dad was a very good player, vocal player, and he made sure I was at training every week and playing on Saturdays.
I think it's a very common story for us queer folk. I speak on personal experience. That was the same thing as me. I didn't get to the level you did, but familiar pressure.
I think my parents were the exact opposite. They established at a very young age that I have no sporting prowess whatsoever, but my grandma did rope me in to get amongst it, so followed it ever since the late 80s.
Oh, good. Good job, Nana.
So, Samuel, 23 years, what position did you play?
I played a few. So I up through the juniors, I was the tallest. So I had to play ruck, and then I stopped growing. So I then moved to centre half forward, where I played for a long time. And weirdly, I played there because I was quite good at marking the ball, which is hilarious because when I turned 18, it turns out I had stigmatism and needed glasses. And I played my whole career without glasses and somehow managed to be able to mark the ball. My last few years I played as fullback, which was also fun.
So I guess, and this is not an innuendo or a double entendre, I guess you could say you're a rather versatile player.
Very versatile player, yeah.
Oh, my God. We're not the highest intellect here on Gay FL, but we'll go with it. I'm going to touch on to something I think is a little bit more serious. Did you have a favourite position?
I think centre-half forward was just a really – it's a very special – one, because a lot of the pressure is on you, but sometimes a lot of the stuff that you're doing is just creating space for your teammates. And I always felt like nothing I was ever doing, if I wasn't getting the ball, it meant that I was creating space for other people. And that's what I think I really enjoyed about it's a great team player position.
So you're basically the cast of Wicked and making space.
Yeah. Just holding space for the other footy boys.
That's the one. Yeah. We do love a good Wicked reference, even though it has nothing to do with football. And I actually wanted to point out, because we will come on to this in the second break today, but we are going to talk about your show because you don't play anymore. No. And we do just want to point out before we get onto that, and we will get into the show later, but the show is called Footballers Are a Godsend. For if you're looking it up, it's F-A-A-G. We just can't say that in this time slot.
No, the children might be listening.
Yeah, won't somebody think of the children? I did that last week too.
It's a common theme here.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, we will get into the show, but what made you transition from being on the field to being on the stage?
It was a long process, a long time of me sort of not really understanding my identity in life. And sort of for me as a young country boy, footy was my only community. I didn't really know anyone else. And I just got to this... I was also a primary school teacher.
Oh, okay.
Up until I was about 25. So I lived in a country town, worked at the school and played footy, and that was my life. And it just over time became incredibly sad. And I couldn't understand why I was sad, what I was doing. So I actually went back to uni. I was going to do a gap year. And instead of going overseas, I just wanted to go learn a new skill, which was music theatre.
Wow, that's about as far removed from football as you can get.
And just the naivety that I thought, oh, I'll just audition and like probably get in, and miraculously did. But the amount of work that I had to put into it, it was incredible. And I realized, oh, this is what I should be doing for the rest of my life.
And you still get to wear the sassy outfits on stage as well. I mean, it's not that it's not entirely different from football.
Exactly. Well, I actually wear a cute little glittered footy Guernsey.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
We are a fan of the old spangled Guernseys here. We'll have to hit you up about where you got it from and see if we can tee one up with you.
I'm sure I could get you one.
It is interesting though, going from footy to cabaret. I'm pretty sure you sort of followed in the footsteps of Shane Crawford. I kind of feel like did he do some pantomimes in the UK or something like that? I'm pretty sure he did. I know
he was definitely on the Footy Show end of year review a few times.
Oh, yeah,
are we true. Forgetting that he was in Joseph? And the Technicolor.
Oh, he was too. Right.
I'm glad you know what we're talking about.
I knew you two had that in common.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Look, I would like to think that I can sing a little better than Crawford. No shade, but I feel like I've got that on him.
Now, speaking of all singing and all dancing, we're going to go to some breaks in just a moment with some ads coming up. But also, following that, will you have picked a song for us to play today?
Yes, yeah, I'm very much into the Australian, like, early 2000s bangers at the moment. I might even be singing a couple on Sunday at Midsummer. So ooh. I thought this is another one that came close to my suggestions, came close to what I was going to sing. It's an absolute classic from Vanessa Amorosi.
Ah, Vanessa Amorosi, This Is Who I Am, coming up right after these messages. So that was Vanessa Amorosi telling us this is who she is. And if you're wondering who I am, I'm Chris. I'm the co-host of GayFL.
And I'm Brendan, the other co-host. And Vanessa, what an absolute queen.
Do you know who loves a good Vanessa Amorosi reference or song? God. Absolutely everybody.
Why did I going to go there?
Sorry, I had to. But before I tell any more cringe stories, I just want to say we have Samuel Roberts with us today, former football player in the local league and cabaret performer. If you have a question for Samuel or want to send a message of support, or even if you've seen his show, text us in on 0427 569 949.
Yep. So, Samuel, as we're talking, we mentioned in the intro, We do have the upcoming Footballers Are a Godsend. Tell us about the show. What was the conception?
So I graduated from music theatre and I started auditioning for shows. I was about 28, 29 and I had a very brutal but lovely lesson from my singing teacher who said, look, just so that you're aware, you are too old to play high school and you are too young to play dad. So you're gonna struggle to get roles in other people's shows and do all that. And the one great thing about I went to university in Ballarat at Federation University, and the one great thing that they do there is that they teach you all of the fringe things. You're not just learning how to be on Broadway; you're learning how to create and write and pave your own way. And so with those skills, I thought, you know what, I'm not getting any sort of gigs anywhere else. I'm going to put it into creating my own show. And, I mean, when you've played something for two decades, it's kind of taken up a lot of your life. I started with the idea and it just started rolling of, you know, my relationship with football.
And with the title, which we mentioned earlier, that we can't say the full word in this time slot, Footballers Are a Godsend. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so it's a kind of a chronological explanation of how I got from a young kid growing up playing footy in the country to where I am now, which is an openly queer man. It talks about, you know, all the things that a lot of people, I think, identify with when they think about, you know, local football leagues, which is hypermasculinity, homophobia. But it is also a big joy in my life, and it was a big part of my life, and I thoroughly enjoyed that time on the field playing. So it's a comedy. It's we do talk about those tougher topics, but out of it, it's just pure joy. So
I think that's actually really awesome because I, as I said, I haven't played football. I just watch it, but we all know that football can be a very toxically masculine environment, and obviously in the men's league, particular a little bit different in the women's, but. Like, I feel like that was kind of a blessing and a curse almost. It's you've kind of made roses with it.
Yes. Yeah. I when I finished playing football, it literally lines up with when I came out as a gay man. And I used that then to kind of escape from football and just not have anything to do with it for a really long time. And it's only been recent that I've started bringing it back in and remembering all of that joy. Processing this show has actually helped me love football even more and remember all of the fun things that come with it.
Mm. So you did mention, I know the show's been going for a while. It's been going for a couple of years. Yes. Has it changed much since its first iteration?
Yes. Well, you know, when you're fresh out of uni and you're writing your first ever show, it's great. It's wonderful, but it's a little bit naive. So the first iteration of this show, I thought in my mind and in my experience, I was the only one that had ever been through this. And so the whole idea was I was going to be the first gay footballer, and that the first iteration was surrounding me trying to be the first gay footballer, which now we know with Mitch Brown and obviously, with the world that we're in, I'm much more aware that there are queer people everywhere. And the idea that I'm alone in this is very naive. But it's also, since Mitch Brown coming out, that's been the first time where I've really felt like, oh, someone has the same story as me. Someone has that shared experience.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. And, you know, I think, like you mentioned about feeling a bit naive, feeling like when you realize that you weren't the only queer footballer. I can appreciate how that would happen, though, because in an environment that doesn't allow you to express or talk about or only talks about it in a negative way, it would be quite isolating, which is weird because you're also part of such a close-knit team.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting feeling when every week you're getting out there, playing a game, you're working together, you're also showering together and sharing very intimate moments with each other. But
bit of towel whipping, bit of horseplay.
Yeah, but there's still that one big thing that I could just never share, which is it's kind of sad, really.
So for those that haven't seen the show, what should we expect from it?
I would say a lot of nostalgia from your experiences, hopefully understanding some of those not so fun experiences, but not feeling as much of the trauma, but more of the light and enjoying those experiences. It's a wildly personal story, but a relatable one. So I think a lot of people will see themselves and see their own experiences through it.
Was there much sort of self-editing from when you started it to what it is today?
Yeah. It's been through so many different versions. This current version is the one that makes me feel the most joy. I get to sing all these very fun songs and just act like a loon on stage, but also get to really share a poignant story. So
you take it low, but you take it high as well. It's not a show that's going to, people are going to walk out feeling depressed.
No, goodness no. I wouldn't be able to do the show if I left everyone depressed. That's not how I want to share my theatre. No, it's very fun and uplifting, and because I'm here and I get to live my life the way it is now. So obviously the ending of the story is always a good one.
And full credit to you as well. We've commented obviously on Mitch Brown, but also on Tilly, who used to play for Hawthorn, and they're a non-binary person. And we actually spoke with Tilly at the W Awards and were saying it's kind of weird because we're so grateful that you're willing to share your story and be this voice and educate, but it's almost not your responsibility as a member of the community to do that as well. So I think for someone like yourself who's been on that side of it, because a lot of us haven't been, you know, in the locker room. Yeah. So to be able to share that story and try and, you know, turn it into such a positive thing, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I just think it might just, well, it helped me really find a relationship with footy again. And so I just hope that it does that for other people as well.
And as we know, as we said, the show's been going for a while. Tell me, what's the response been like?
Pretty great. So obviously my first time ever, I didn't have people who had never seen me before. So a lot of the tickets were bought up by my family and friends from home, which was great because they all saw themselves in the show. They were like, oh, you know, that's where I grew up, or that's at the club that I played for. Which is very lovely, and you know, it's the response from everyone was really great.
Now we actually have a text. One of our listeners has sent in a text. We'd love you to answer it if possible. But what was your reaction like from the club boys when you came out to them?
Okay, so I'll talk about my sort of closer footy mates. I never really came out to everyone because I quit footy by the time I'd, you know, was out to everyone else, but my close footy mates, it was kick-ons. It was about 5 a.m. and I'd already told one of my mates, Rick, and he said, you're going to do it tonight. You're going to tell the other boys. And I said to them, oh, fellas, I've got something to tell you. I like boys.
Mm.
Wow.
And they all started clapping. And one of them even said, oh, this is the best day ever.
Aww.
Like, they were just all very happy for me. So I was very blessed.
That warms my cold, dead heart. Response.
Yeah. Right? Isn't it so beautiful?
It is beautiful.
I love those opportunities where people can surprise you.
Yeah. Look, to be fair, if anyone has met me, you probably, like, I think a lot of people had already had that thought that I might be queer. So the reaction from most people when I came out wasn't a shocked one, really.
Fantastic. And that, I think that's actually a really nice moment to kind of, let's just take a pause and reflect on that. We will be back after these messages.
You're listening to Gay FL, a queer footy show with Chris and Brendan on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for joining us back on Gay FL, and we're here with Samuel Roberts, former local league football player and also cabaret star. We were talking in the last break about taking it low before you take it high. We do have to take it low for a moment. This is it's not a football story, but I think it's one that could resonate not just with ourselves and our football community, but also with our lovely guest who's joined us today, Samuel. Now, anyone who follows soccer or European football may be aware of Josh Cavallo, a player who came out and is, you know, has a wonderful partner and continued to play for Adelaide United in that league. He has come out just a couple of days ago and advised that he's moving on from not just Adelaide United, but also from Australia and moving to the UK to play soccer over there. And it was an interestingly timed announcement right after Adelaide United announced their Pride game. And his comments were that his reason for leaving not just the league but the country was the internal homophobia that he was getting from within the club itself.
Yeah, and I mean, we know it was bad enough. He, you know, he's gone on the record and spoken about how he gets death threats daily. And we always say, like, if you're sitting there and you're angry and you're a keyboard warrior and you're considering DMing someone something nasty, just don't do it. Like, it's not necessary.
Yes, that's what we think of keyboard warriors.
Yeah, thanks, Liliana. Lily, we love you. But yeah, I thought it was such a poignant article because, you know, he came out and we know he had a lot of, there was some injuries and he left the game and he was the first player to come out, the first active male professional soccer player in 2021. But he's come out and said, like, he feels like he wasn't selected and there was a lot of exclusion because of his sexuality. And speaking to you, Samuel, someone who actually has been through, I guess, you know, played sport and everything like that, I'd love to hear from you. Does any of that resonate?
I mean, yeah, I quit before coming out, but I can also just understand that for a lot of, you know, the men playing in, like, that are around those clubs, whether they're the trainers, the coaches, the club people, There's a reason why it's called casual homophobia, right? Mm-hmm. There's people that don't even recognize that they're doing those things. And I just remember from my experience is that looking back and reflecting now, I know what I know in life and going, oh yeah, that was casual homophobia, you know? Mm. And even like I see all these people now and I go back to the country and some of them are still using like the gay and things like that. Just thinking, well, that you don't even realize that it's happening, which I think is really sad for Josh to be, you know, in and around that constantly.
And it was actually, he made a comment and this actually broke my heart when I read it, because often I've heard people say in our community, no one regrets coming out. Mm. And I think that's, it's not an entirely universal experience, though. And Josh actually commented that because of the impact it had on his career and his life outside of the game, he did have that moment. He didn't use the word regret, but where he almost went, he kind of reflected on it and wondered if it was a good idea because it was what he was scared of happening.
I think it's super sad as well because, and I've talked about this before, this isn't an original thought, but you love footy. I grew up in a footy family. I played footy. I was in the cheer squad, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, when I was in my teens, because of homophobia, I stopped and I lost my passion for it. And I didn't get back into it till a couple of years ago, to be quite honest. And Samuel, you told us off the record earlier, you sort of had a similar thing where you stopped. Like, did you fall out of love with footy or did you become disillusioned?
Look, I think I had sort of kept myself. I was 27 or 28 when I finally came out. And I think I just kept myself from this world and this love for myself that I felt at the time I couldn't have football in my life.
Yeah.
And that. So I gave up football. I kind of escaped from it. I didn't go to it. I didn't watch it. You know, my siblings were playing in finals back at home. I wouldn't go back for it. Like I just took it out of the took it off the table completely and then have been gradually coming back into it, which is has been wonderful. But it's it's a really hard thing to try and be figuring out one thing and sort of still being repressed by the other, I guess.
But the love affair with football is back.
It is back. Oh yes, I'm back into footy.
It is. It's such a, and this is probably the saddest thing for me, the juxtaposition. I can't even say the word. I'm so sad about it. Aww. But loving something so much, like I said, it's so Shakespearean. Like I loved footy and I loved going. And then when you feel like, and I think this isn't an isolated thing, you know, anyone in the queer community, where you feel like, one, you don't belong, and two, that there's no place for you. It's shattering, yeah.
Yeah, I think one thing that I have learned since bringing this show back and learning a little bit more about footy, and I'm quite impressed with, I didn't know that there were like queer squads and not only in Victoria but around the whole of Australia. There's lots of different clubs that are all connected for the love of sport and being part of the LGBTQIA plus community.
You need to trademark that, queer squads, if you don't, we don't.
It's called the Port Adelaide Queer Squad. They stole it.
And there are so many, like, we're a member of Purple Bombers, and we've had a lot to do with, you know, Bulldog Pride and a lot of different community groups. Mm. And I'll even level with you. I didn't know until a couple of years ago when Kyle Langford told us about the Purple Bombers. I hadn't even heard of them before then.
So I just love that there's these spaces that are being created so that everyone can enjoy the game, because it is Australia's pastime, I guess. It's like we should all be allowed to enjoy it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And not only that, I think with the advent of the AFLW and how popular that's getting, you know, we are getting to a point, and I'm not saying it's an easy existence for out AFLW players, but we are getting to a place where queer and football can be used in the same sentence without it necessarily being a punchline.
Mm. Yes, yeah. Oh, I'm so impressed with the AFLW's, I went to their Pride round at Vic Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was one of my favorite games of footy for the year. It was so much fun. I'm just incredibly impressed with how I think Mitch Brown put it perfectly, which is that we don't get to share these things and build on these experiences on our own. We had AFLW and just really integrating their queerness into the sport has allowed us to be more comfortable to talk about these things.
And I wanted to ask a question just going back to your show, because Brendan asked you about how the reception from the football people has been about the queer identity. How has the reception been from the theatre community about your love of football? Because that might be just as controversial, but in a slightly less nasty way.
It's great. I think the theatre people learn a few things. A lot of them were a bit shocked that I could do certain things.
Like do football. Yeah, do football.
Because I like talk about things, but I also do a little demonstration and stuff. So they were pretty impressed with, you know, the fact that I looked like I could kick a ball and all that stuff. My favorite thing to do, if you're ever watching like any sort of theatre and they're playing sports, like Holding the Man is one of my favorite films.
Oh my God. That is such a great
movie. We could talk about that all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love watching the footy scenes because none of them can play football, but it's so beautiful. I don't care because they're just so wonderful, but it's so funny watching them not being able to play.
And the other thing we wanted to bring up, we are going to take it just before we go on to the next break a little bit low just for a moment, because we've been talking about casual homophobia in football. And Brennan, you came across something on the football socials recently.
Yeah, look, I don't want to get up on my soapbox, but I'm going to. I've got a mic right now, so the studio goes blank. It was deleted very quickly, but one of the teams, I'm not going to say who it was, but they posted a social media post yesterday where anyone that's watched Heated Rivalry, it's the biggest, greatest thing. You know, if you haven't watched it, get on it. It's quite fun and, you know, quite sexy.
Definitely sexy.
There was a particular post from a club yesterday, and it was, as I said, it was deleted very quickly, but asking some of the players a particular thing about the show. And it was almost like looked like a gotcha moment. It was kind of like, oh, do you know about The Cottage? Anyone that's watched the show knows what they're talking about, The Cottage. Yeah. And asking these players, oh, are you going to go to The Cottage? Do you know what The Cottage is? It did seem like a, who's good sort of thing. And it's like, oh, come on, seriously, 2026.
Yeah.
And especially yesterday when Josh came out about his experience. As I said, I did notice it was deleted very quickly. So, just do better.
Do better. But speaking of queer and footy and internalized homophobia and things that are actually uplifting in regards to that, we are going to throw to a song which did feature in one of the episodes of Heated Rivalry that is getting a little bit of a resurgence. This is All the Things She Said by Tattoo.
This is Gay FL.
You're back on Gay FL with your hosts Brendan and Chris on Joy 94.9, and we are here with Samuel Roberts, former local league football player turned cabaret star for the Midsummer Festival, among other things. And Samuel has agreed very kindly to participate in some of our regular segments. So without further ado,
get ready for some Gay FL quickfire questions.
If you could meet anyone living or dead, who would it be?
Living!
That's right. And we're not going to ask you that question, but Samuel, we just want you to throw to us whatever comes to your mind, sure, as long or as short as you want. Don't overthink it. Let's see how we go. And we are going to start with, so you played various positions. What player, either past or present, did you wish you could play like?
Oh, that would have to be my very distant cousin, Leo Barry.
Oh, name drop.
And I, when I say distant, I mean distant of a distant of a distant. But yeah, I played fullback because they asked me to, and I was like, do you know what? Leo Barry is my very distant cousin. I'm sure I could do it.
And you did it.
I did it.
You did that in the grand final, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you follow in his footsteps? Did he do cabaret as well?
I don't know. I haven't really kept in touch, nor had been in touch in the first place.
So that's a show I'd see.
What's the highest number of goals you've scored?
I think I scored 6 in one game.
Oh, 6 is definitely a bag. Yeah. That's a very healthy bag because you played forward a bit as well, yeah?
Yeah, generally centre half forward.
All right. Do you have any match day superstitions? But this could go for your show too, when you're doing a show or on the field.
Well, no, but depending on the time of the day, because I played like quite a bit of seconds and senior football.
Mm-hmm.
If I was playing seconds, I wouldn't eat until after the game. But if I was playing in the seniors, like at 2:30, mm-hmm, I would have a pie, a sav, a couple of dimmies. One of my friends looked at me and said, how can you eat all that? And I was like, it's 2:30 when we go on. I'm sure it'll be fine.
That's amazing.
Worst footy injury you ever saw in your footy career?
So I missed out on playing in finals because of a grade 2 tear in my ankle, but I did it playing night netball and not at
That sounds painful. How long were you off for?
It was 6 weeks, but by that point we were out of finals.
Now, this one's not a footy question. This is about your show. Yes. What venue or location or city have you played your show in that had the most receptive or the best crowd?
It's always Melbourne. And when I say that, I mean I've only ever performed it in Melbourne. So
not for long.
No, I know. Mm. I'm going to Adelaide in March, which is very exciting for the Adelaide Fringe there. They love football over there.
I grew up in South Australia. It's a mad footy state, and the Fringe is huge. So yeah,
great.
So any heckler experiences in your show?
Not yet. That's not an invitation to come in. No, I keep it too busy. As soon as one thing's over, I'm back into song for the next part.
That's probably a fun show to watch as well because you're keeping it running. Now, we have a theory, and this theory came from Sam Draper, former Essendon player.
Mm.
We all know Drapes has the majestic mullet, and we had a theory that his mullet brings him special powers. And this could be said for a lot of players. Now, you have a bit of a mini mullet going on. Does it bring you special powers?
Good question. I think a cool vibe definitely comes. Like, I think people are more attracted to, like, talk to me who are also cool. Because I look like, because I've got a mullet, I must be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we like talking to you, so you must be cool. not that we're a good reference point.
I'll tick that off my list.
I know it's only January 14. Who's going to win the grand final?
Are we talking about the men's or the women's?
Let's do both.
I honestly think that North Melbourne are going again in the women's.
Yeah, fair.
Are so good.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, look, do you know what? I've made lots of jokes about Carlton in the past because my dad specifically goes for Carlton. Yeah. So in reparations, I'll say Carlton are going to win.
I could see that. Let them have their Cinderella story.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, good luck to Carlton this season. And that is Quickfire Questions. We are now going to move on to...
It's time to take a look at Stars Around. Miss the latest off-field antics and hijinks? We've got it covered for you.
God, mine's so depressing today. So for those of you that may not have seen, there was a pretty big announcement today. It was for us Essendon folk. Zach Merritt has dropped his manager after obviously the messy trade period last year. And anyone that was following that, I know I was, Tom Petrero, you know, obviously tried to get him to Hawthorn and that fell through. But yeah, he's dropped him, which is quite interesting.
So I guess you could say,
she doesn't even go here.
He isn't even dead yet.
Let the sheets get cold.
Let the corpse, like, go.
I have a slightly more upbeat Stars Around this week, and this Stars Around is dedicated to one of our listeners who sent me a message last week, or sent us a message last week on the show, about how negative I am about the South Australian football teams, and in particular Port Power. And I promised this year that I would be nicer to the South Australian teams.
Mm.
So I would love to point out... the Port Adelaide Football Club, the Power, have got a little puppy.
Mm.
And there is videos on the Port Adelaide and the Channel 7 social media of the puppy's first day in the club. And it's so gorgeous. He just owns the show. His name's Albie, which I believe is because their home base is Albert and Oval.
Oh, that's so
believe
cute.
I believe it's a tribute to that. But Albie was running around owning the show. He interrupted the 36ers, which is the Adelaide basketball team. Their trainer tried to steal the ball, which was hilarious because they obviously share facilities. He even had a little wee on the indoor turf, which was quite amusing. So, Kelly, that one was for you.
We need more doggies in the AFL. I mean, after Caesar's retirement from the Bulldogs, I'm all for that.
Yeah, and I mean, when we say about need more doggies in the AFL, that's probably another team like Carlton that we wouldn't mind seeing having a better year this year.
Shout out to Matt there.
Yeah, Matt, that one was for you. We are also now going to move away from Stars Around and into my favourite segment.
It's time to look at the unintentionally homoerotic commentary made by our friends in the media with...
UHC.
You know I love it. It is my favourite time of the day. And Samuel has agreed ever so kindly to jump in with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so without any context or any explanation, here are some genuine quotes from our friends in the media during the 2025 football season. Brody Grundy was able to have his way with him.
Straight down the throat of Vandermeer.
Nick Dacos is going to savour it. And pump it home.
Poor Dacos. He's always on there.
He does always cough it. Hosking Elliott puts his head in the hole.
McStay wants a dip.
By the way, unrelated to that, I actually got a pair of Dan McStay's match-worn shorts on eBay this week.
Yeah, we don't need to hear about your filthy habits.
I love that. Me?
Yep.
Christian Petrarca is ready for a big one.
And Darcy was the meat in the sandwich.
It does some exciting things to a young footballer.
O'Sullivan with his knees up over the top. That's so good.
We are so excited for the footy season to come back so we can get some new Stars Around. We have been recapping 2025 and I am fresh out of quotes from 2025. So we are going to put 2025 UHC behind us until the season comes in.
I'm pretty sure 2026 will bring us a lot more commentary.
Oh, I'm sure that will.
Absolutely. And speaking of commentary, we were talking about your show, which is on at Midsummer, which is Footballers Are a Godsend, or the word we can't say in this time slot. Do you have any final words for our lovely listeners about your show?
Yes, no, I'm very excited to share this with everyone. This is the first time it's been at Midsummer, sort of, you know, I would love, you know, more and more queer people to come and see it and share in my joy. And if you can't get to this one, I'm actually doing it again in Melbourne for Comedy Festival.
Oh, amazing. Whoa.
I know, I'm very busy over the next few months going from here to Adelaide, back to here in March, April. So
fantastic. And also, you're going to be at Carnival this weekend doing a little thing, is that right?
Yeah. I'm going to be at Carnival Midsummer at about 1:25, I think, on the picnic stage, doing some Australian bangers.
Very exciting.
I'm also in another show.
Ooh.
Called Drag Me to Broadway at Grouse, where it's me and two drag queens telling stories and singing Broadway songs, which is also very fun. Grouse is great. There's so much fun stuff happening there.
And that for the Midsummer one this weekend as well, if you want a taster and people want to come down and see you, you gave us the time there. It is right before the dog show, everybody. It so is. If you can't remember the time, be there before the dog show and check out Samuel and see what you think of him and his show. It may, you know, maybe you'll like it. But speaking of shows and things to check out, we are being followed after this by the Open Table. They are playing their encore editions because they're still on their summer break. Bless them, Craig and Ethan. They have a special guest on today, which is James Parr, model, disability advocate, and also entertainer. So, you know, have a listen to that. Stick around, see what they have to say, and have a Google of them if you don't know who they are, because they seem like a really amazing person. Mm.
But yeah, you know, for anyone listening, we'll see you at Midsummer.
See you at Midsummer. Don't forget, we will be there from 12 to 12.30 at the Joy Stall, and we will also be on the sports stage from 1.20 to 2 o'clock, and we really look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, we'll have a very special guest. Now, Samuel, do you want to throw to our last song, one of your choices?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. One of my favourite songs of all time. Absolute banger growing up with it. This is Savage Garden, Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Thanks so much. And thanks for coming and joining us today, Samuel. And we can't wait to see your show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gay AFL with Brendan and Chris.
For more queer footy content, find us on all your favourite podcast platforms at Gay AFL, a queer footy show.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.